The word eschatology comes from the word eschaton, which means the end. It means the end of the age, and the Bible is the only book in the world that gives us a picture of the end of the age. We've been talking about this a little bit, and we're talking about it today, and it's going to be interesting, so thank you for being with us. What's the date for this?
It's going to be August 5th.
August 5th.
Right.
Yep. Welcome to All Things Apostolic. This is August the 5th, and it's hard to believe. August the 5th of 2024. Here we are in the 8th month, and it seems like January was just yesterday. But when you're busy, which is a good thing, that's good. So we're glad you come by to be with us today on All Things Apostolic, and that you've tagged in, and that we're going to talk a little bit today. We talked last week some about, we just discussed a little bit about eschatology, about the subject, the name, the word eschatology, and why it has importance. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. We're not going to get into a real deep discussion. However, you know, eschatology oftentimes ends up to be a subject where people get to debating one another about this or that, because I think there may be some valid reasons for that, because it's possible that somebody could teach something about the future that is so whacked out that you would have to say, no, that's off, that's wrong, that's not right. And because it could affect, the doctrines have consequences, and thoughts and ideas and concepts have consequences. So what people think about the future, it matters. And there's everything from the devil's going to be saved to you tell me what. So sometimes we have to talk about these things a little bit. We talked about them in the context when we talk about eschatology. We're talking about what has happened in the present age. And we would probably say that the present age would start, some people may think there's another starting point, but an age is defined by one major geological change in the surface of the earth to the next major change in the geological configuration of the surface of the earth. So in our case, that would probably be the flood of Noah to the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is going to be, according to the Bible, attended by gigantic earthquakes, islands of the sea disappearing, which indicates subterranean earthquakes of a major deal where these plates are being moved in ways that have not occurred at any time, I don't suppose, during the present age, or since the last geological upheaval. And these things, even things universally, things in the sky are going to be changed. The heavens, Peter says, will be pulled back like a scroll, whatever that means. Stars, John says, will fall to the earth. So I would assume that's huge pieces of meteors that hit the earth become a meteorite, or vice versa, meteor and meteorite. And all of these things, and many more things, are good. Oceans, changes in the ocean, changes in rivers, and so forth. So all of this stuff that attends it is talking about, when we talk about the end time, we're talking about the period of time just before this geologic age closes. And when it closes, the event which is going to close it at this point is the second coming of Christ. Events in the past have been, of course, different events that were far earlier in history and even in prehistoric times. And so this particular age that we're in closes with the coming of Christ and all of the geological changes. So when you talk about eschatology, there are eschatological changes in nations. There's going to be eschatological changes in individuals. There's going to be eschatological changes in the face of the earth, global. And there's going to be eschatological changes in the universe with the heavens and the stars and the sky. So this is going to be a convulsion, a universal convulsion of a magnitude that none of us have ever seen. So the Bible sees the trajectory of human history coming to this period of time that on earth is characterized by a collection of final events that are going to take place. So history is a picture of the movements and things that have moved things to a time that will be final events. Now, in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, it talks about these things and talks about this last day period of time with a phrase. This is a phrase from the Old Testament, the day of the Lord. It's the day of the coming of the Lord. But the day of the Lord, day there is not just 24 hours, but it is a period of time, the day of the Lord will come. And the prophets, there's a number of different words. If you look in the Premier Study Bible, chapter 6, verse 17, I believe it is, there's a list of all the other knockoffs of the word, the phrase, the day of the Lord. Sometimes it talks about the day of wrath. Sometimes it talks about that day. Sometimes it talks about, there's probably, I don't know, a dozen, maybe, different phrases that the Bible used of this time. But the primary one, the core is the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is a day of a consummation, a collection of all the nations. It's a collection of all the events, and it's a collection of all the actions of nations that will be judged. It's also included in that a collection of all of the individual actions that have taken place. Every individual, there's a judgment there also. And so, but the day of the Lord, the individual judgment of people who are saved will be at that time. Then there's another, then there's the millennium, and there's a what the Bible calls a great white throne judgment. So we don't have any better language to use than the Bible. Why should we look for it? And so the Bible says there'll be great white throne judgment. And at that time, all the dead and the living, small and great, will be brought to there for individual judgment, and the righteous shall go into eternal life, and the unrighteous. So that will be everybody that is unsaved will be judged there, and anybody who is born during the millennium and gets saved will be judged there. Now, let me say, when the end of the age comes, there's kind of a perception that boom, it's the end of the world, and there is no more function, world function. Some people think when the rapture takes place, which is not the end of the age, when the church is caught away, the end of the age is after the day of wrath. It's the consummation of the day of wrath. And the Bible says those that get caught up are not appointed to wrath. And so we don't believe the church will be part of that. But that brings up a good point. A lot of people think that everything that's going on is determined by the church, that the church, we're in the church age, so the church appears to be the sum total of everything that matters. But the church is also caught in the circumstances of the present age. The circumstances of the present age and things that are happening that have an eschatological consummation, all of those, there's many of those before the church age started. Because the church age just started 2,000 years ago or so with the coming of Christ. But this present age goes back, way back, several thousand years prior to that, at least several thousand years. So when you look at this, you see that the church is one of the things that's caught in this whole frame of time. But it's not the only thing caught in that frame. Now, the Bible is and Christianity is not merely a history of the world, but is a history of the world in the context that it has meaning and that it is moving towards a preconceived conclusion. And this preconceived conclusion is part of divine destiny. Now, divine destiny doesn't mean you are destined to go to heaven or hell without you being involved in, or your actions being involved, or your obedience, or your faith being involved in the process, but it means you will go to one or the other. So, but there's no determining, except if you accept the Lord, then that's what determines. So you end up to be a final arbiter of whether you go to the two places that are predestined. This is this reveals to us something. The Old Testament, when you talk about eschatology, is dealing with nations. And Israel is the primary nation, but it's dealing with nations. We may talk about this a little bit. And I'm preparing a course on this right now, and so talking about it here actually helps me. The New Testament, like in the Old Testament, it deals with nations. It doesn't deal hardly any with individual salvation. Believing in Jehovah and a few scriptures like Daniel 12 and 3, where those that bring many into the kingdom of God will shine like the stars of heaven. So there's kind of an individual reward judgment reference there. But there's almost, there's very little about the individual judgment. And even things that have with individual judgment in the context of the nation of Israel. Whereas, so the Old Testament eschatology is about nations. The New Testament eschatology is about individuals. Big, radical difference in the two. And the New Testament, you have all of these things about the, that answers the question of what happens to the individual at the end of time. In the Old Testament, you have what happens to the nations at the end of the age. So you have the nations at the end of the age discussed in the Old Testament primarily, and you have, there's nations discussed in the New Testament also, even by Jesus himself, but so we know there's going to be nations after this age closes, after the coming of Christ. There's still going to be nations in the world, and I'll show that to you even more conclusively later, but it's clear in Scripture. It's like, it's plain. We just don't think about these things. There'll be nations, and some nations will not go into the period of the millennium, but other nations will go into it. And Christ will be the judge of that. And there's a criteria that will be used for whether those nations get to go into, continue to exist and go into the millennium, or whether they ceased because they did not merit going into the millennium. On the other hand, in the New Testament, it's primarily not talking about nations, although nations are going to go in just like individuals. There couldn't be nations if there wasn't individuals. So, but the individual judgment in the New Testament shows what happens to an individual at the end of time, what's going to occur, what happens. In the Old Testament, it shows what's going to happen to nations at the end of time and the world. It's a generalization. It shows the big picture. The other shows, one's a microscope and one's a telescope. The telescope opens up and shows the whole picture, and then you turn it down and it takes on the nature of a microscope, where it just turns down to a focus on the individual. So with this in mind, when we look at this, the Bible is giving us a picture of not only what's going to occur in the end time, but that it's going to reveal to us that everything is not simply terrestrial. We are not simply flesh that's going to rot and it's the end of time. And that nations are not simply temporary on the earth, or government is not simply temporary on the earth. That government's going to go on. It's part of eternity. Even heaven itself has what we call the kingdom of God. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a kingdom in heaven. There is a government in heaven. And there will be governments throughout eternity. There will be governments, evidently, from what the Bible tells us. We have no other source because nothing else makes these predictions. Not only will there be nations, there will also, of course, be individuals that will go on forever. And they will do things. They will have assignments. They will be part of the governing of the universe if they are saved. And those that are lost, the statements in the Bible about being lost are in some ways can be a bit mysterious, but there is no question about the deadly fatality that it is fatal to a deep degree, and that there is no escape from that. So it behooves us to be able to look at these things and to be able to say, we want to be ready. Talk to us. Tell us what we need to do to be ready. So that's really what the consummation of eschatology is. It's not, there's a lot of doom involved with and judgment with the end of the age. But there's also, it's also a story of hope if we take advantage of the ability to avoid these things through faith, obedience, and understanding. So there we kind of have it for today. We may talk about that again. But just to know that the Bible reveals a plan for history that nothing else reveals, and reveals and shrinks down and compresses into actual descriptions of what's going to happen at the end of time. We'll try to talk about those a little bit. Thank you for being with us today. We look forward to you being with us next time.